The text for our message this morning is from the 10th chapter of Mark, verses 42 through 45. Jesus called them to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, when I began classes at the seminary, our president, who is now retired, would come into the student lounge every morning, because that's where the coffee pot was. If no one had made the coffee yet, he would sigh very loudly and jokingly say something like, "I guess I'll have to lower myself to make the coffee today." And as he made that first pot of coffee, he would continue letting us know how humble he was, being the president and all, and making coffee even for the students. He usually ended his speech with, "I must be the most humble person in the world." And of course, we'd all agree with him. Now, in reality, he is a very humble person, and he was a great example to us. And so when he would tell us in class that we should pitch in sometimes when we're at our own church to help clean up our church or to shovel the snow, we knew he was speaking from experience and also humility. Well, being humble was the last thing on the minds of the disciples, James and John. Right before this reading this morning, they had asked Jesus for a special favor. They wanted the two most important positions of power under Jesus. They were looking for power and prestige. Two men who should have considered themselves servants of God instead were seeking greatness. And Jesus explains to them, to the other disciples, and to us, what can be expected in his service: humility, suffering, and even death. When the other disciples heard about this incident, they're angry. And Jesus uses this opportunity to begin explaining his plan for them, for himself, and for us. Jesus wanted his disciples to be humble just as he was. He never elevated himself above the government of his day. He always obeyed the laws in our place, as well as setting an example for his followers. His disciples, on the other hand, weren't always so humble. Peter often lost his temper. He was impulsive. He often said or did things before thinking. And James and John, Jesus called the sons of thunder, probably because of their quick tempers. And the disciples were constantly arguing about who was greater. Jesus wanted his disciples to be servants, not rulers. He wanted them to serve others with the gospel that he would entrust to them in future generations. To do this, they would have to be humble. Jesus says to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant." That idea might have been just a little difficult for the disciples. Become servants? That's not what they wanted. Well, Jesus also wants us to be humble, to be servants. We're told in Philippians, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." There are many tasks that God gives us in our lives that seem beneath our abilities. But he chooses the right person for whatever he wants to accomplish. That may not make us too happy sometimes. Have you ever thought or said to God, "Can't you give me something more important to do?" Well, God would like us to be not so full of ourselves that we think we're above certain duties, but humble, and especially helping each other. Part of being humble as a Christian is being ready to suffer for our faith. John would find out later what it was to suffer for Christ. He would be banished by the government to live in exile on the island of Patmos. He would be the last surviving apostle, persecuted and threatened with death. John was never allowed to leave this tiny island because of his faith. But he doesn't complain about it. In fact, he opens the book of Revelation with warm greetings and praises to God. John understood what Jesus had done for him and all people, and was ready to pay whatever price was necessary to remain faithful, even death. And James, according to early church historians, was the first of the 12 apostles to die. After serving as a missionary, he was tried by King Herod and beheaded for his beliefs. What would you do if your life was threatened because of what you believe? How many of us would be willing to die rather than deny our faith? Sometimes it's hard for us to even imagine being put in that position because of the freedom we have in our country. But we see on the news these very things happening today. Christians are being persecuted and are dying even in our day for what they believe. Our suffering, though, is often a little different. It may be enduring the snickers of others when we stand up for our faith, or the look of disgust from someone who doesn't share our morals. Jesus doesn't promise us that our lives on earth will be easy. Does it bother you to hear what Jesus teaches in our text today about being humble, about suffering and maybe dying? Then look at what our God has done for you. We're told in 1 Peter that Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The King of Kings left his perfect home and lowered himself to live with people in a world that's far from perfect. He endured the same hunger and thirst, the same temptations for you and for me. And he suffered and died for you and for me. He lived as a poor man and died the death of a criminal for you and for me. How much more humble could our Savior have been? What better example could we have of a humble servant than our Savior? And after all these things, Jesus doesn't tell us, "I earned my place in heaven, and you can't come." He says, "I earned your place in heaven. Come and live with me." And thanks for all that God has done for us, we live our lives in faithfulness to Him. And He will also grant us courage and strength to live as humble witnesses to Him, no matter the cost. Amen.